Hey, welcome to the very first episode of Sales Burrito. What Sales Burrito, you ask? Well, stay tuned. We're about to tell you all about it.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time! Welcome to Sales Burrito! The premier podcast for today's sales engineers working in technology sales, created by SEs for SEs, with your hosts, Enrique Barreto and Dave Siles.
Hey, and welcome to Sales Burrito. This is Dave Siles with Enrique Barreto.
Barreto, man, I'm impressed. You know how to roll your R's, dude. That's pretty good.
I've been working on it. So for those of you tuning in, this is obviously our first podcast. You may be asking, why am I listening to Enrique and Dave, and what the heck is Sales Burrito? Aside from a funny name, it's really pretty serious business. We are here to bring the premier podcast to the market space for the sales engineer by the sales engineer. Really, this sales podcast was born out of a conversation Enrique and I had, really understanding the passion that we have for sales engineering and looking to share our knowledge and experience back with the community as a whole. And so we wanted to come together, and we thought the best way to do that, especially as we sit here in this pandemic, is to give you some food for thought and launch Sales Burrito. Maybe we should start by just giving people a little bit of background on ourselves, you know, so they understand, you know, why these two guys sitting on this podcast are talking to them today.
All right, man. Well, I'll tell you one. Listen, dude, let me start that way. I can give our audience kind of the, you know, a little bit of the background, right? Because one of the things that that I'm very blessed with, right, within us, having different mentors, you being one of my mentors early on in my career, right? And, you know, we come from civil backgrounds, so like you said, but they're not that similar. At the end of the day, we have the same goals and ambitions and whatnot. So my name is Enrique Barreto. Actually, funny story.
Barreto.
When we're looking at, you know, when you took at Sales Burrito, right? Back in when, you know, originally from Puerto Rico, I moved back in 1989 to the United States to do my career and whatnot. But it's funny because when I used to call collect to my mom or my dad in Puerto Rico, it would be AT&T saying something like, hey, you have a collect call from Enrique Burrito. And I'm like, seriously? I mean, aside from the fact that I've heard Enrique Iglesias or Rico Suave or all that kind of, that burrito moniker is stuck on me, right? So computer geek by heart, you know, from the times of Radio Shack, TRS-80s, or the Trash 80s. You know, I was very blessed and fortunate that my dad was able to spend out of his money to actually get me into programming, into computing and video gaming and whatnot, to the point where in a time where that was not typical in Puerto Rico, right? You know, your typical kids or friends will be, hey, let's go play basketball or baseball. I'll be like, man, I don't want to do that. How about I just show you this basic program that I created through RAM and ROM and whatnot? And be like, whatever, dude. So that helped me a lot to catapult my career from high school to coming to Tampa since 1989 and working in different organizations, right? From making popcorn in Britton Plaza by South Tampa, you know, it was an AMC movie theater back then, to doing accounts payables and receivable. That computer knowledge allowed me to get into IBM early in my career. Worked on help desk, helping on different products and whatnot. From there, I worked for GTE, which Verizon acquired, learned my skills as a PC tech, right? Then after that, I worked for a nuclear plant doing server support. And then I got my chops as an IT manager for a retail organization. That retail organization allowed me to work on multiple data centers worldwide, created the, you know, business relationship from there. And then one day in 2009, there was a consolidation project that I was looking for, which it tended to be a backup consolidation project of all these different products. And someone gave me the opportunity to become a sales engineer for Data Domain before EMC acquired them. Now, back then, it was one of the largest acquisitions that have occurred circa 2009. Since then, you know, I was able to take all those ingredients You know, hint, hint, part of what we're doing on this show, right? I was able to take all those ingredients to actually launch my career as a sales engineer, which then launched me into becoming a pre-sales engineer manager. Then I, around 2014, I joined you. I was blessed to actually be SE number 4 for a company called Data Gravity, where I learned the world of startups, right? And the struggles and the things that you have to do, which it was fantastic. And circle back to that, worked for a reseller, which is called United Data Technology. So I learned that reseller world. And now I'm currently employed at Rubrik as one of the senior directors for worldwide enablement and training for all SEs here at Rubrik. That is the story, brother. But that's nothing compared to your story, my friend. So what say you?
Yeah, you're too kind, my friend.
Whatever.
Well, you know, not much different, right? No. I got started very early in technology myself, and you know, and I had the very untraditional model of getting into technology through Skunkworks operations. I took a bulletin board system running in my garage and turned it into a dial-up ISP. So really, first technology job I had where I was collecting a paycheck was a company that I started. And you know, this is the early 90s, you know, doing dial-up, and it was a great market to be in, but it taught me a lot, right? Not only how to run a business and build a market, but also turn, you know, the value of, you know, providing customer service, customer care, and delivering a product that people were willing to part with dollars for.
Right.
You know, that's how I got started. But, you know, through my career, I've gone through a lot of different jobs in technology, from, you know, working on the network security side of the equation to becoming a CIO for a public government agency. But passionate about startups myself. And, you know, I've been very fortunate to be a part of a couple different startups, starting another one later in my career. I was a very early employee at Veeam Software. Actually, I ran global systems engineering there and built the SE team from a handful of people all the way through a couple hundred before I left, co-found Data Gravity, where, you know, I had the pleasure of bringing you on board and watching you be very successful with our organization. And no, it's true. And, you know, today, you know, as I sit here, you and I are colleagues again. I opt to work for Rubrik, the global field CTO, focusing on security at Rubrik. But that said, you know, even though we both work for Rubrik, I should make it clear up front, this is not a Rubrik podcast. Rubrik didn't sponsor this. And, you know, we're doing this out of our passion for what we do around sales engineers and how we believe, you know, there's such a core piece of the equation when it comes to the selling life cycle, and we want to give back to the community. And so
100%, 100%. The opinions expressed here are our own opinions.
Our own. That's right. That's right. Legal. Heard that first, right?
Exactly.
But you know, that being said, you know, there's obviously you know, a lot of community we're both plugged into, and you know, people can really expect, you know, that as we go through this, we're not only going to share what we're passionate about in sales engineering, what motivates us. We're also going to bring in, you know, some of the problems that we're trying to solve as an industry, and have and talk some of those, you know, tough topics, right? Diversity. You know, how can you have a sales team in today's global, you know, connected community? Obviously, a lot of us are changing how our jobs work with the pandemic that we sit in. So all those kind of things are fair game for this podcast. But really, as we were building this, you know, having conversations, we're like, well, all right, let's start a podcast. But what the heck are we going to call it? And we went through many couple different names. You know, we had a couple different twists on things. That's an Easter egg there for people who maybe know the backstory. But we ended up with Sales Burrito, right? And you know, when you think about it, you know, burritos are a wonderful thing, right? They have a lot of special ingredients in it. And when they're made right, man, they're delicious, right? And very satisfying, fulfilling.
You have to have the right combination on a burrito day, right? Because it's like, you know, your ingredients have to be fresh. If you're cooking the meat, it has to be perfect. You know, and as you're building the layers to actually build that perfect burrito, right? You know, a miss on an ingredient or adding too much beans or adding too much jalapeno, something is going to ruin that entire experience. And there's nothing better than actually having a great burrito. The analogy of that is exactly the same thing for sales engineers, right? There is a lot of skill sets. Aside from the fact that they have to have technical aptitude to be able to actually be good at what they do. And that's our goal, to be able to actually help those, whether you're a experienced sales engineer, new into the industry, or even better, coming from the customer side and wanting to become a sales engineer, that's the idea. The idea is to actually give you the ingredients to make sure that you are successful in what you do. That's how we came, I believe, through the idea of the burrito side. And yeah, when we call it Sales Burrito, we always say, you know, funny name, but serious topics, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Serious business. Yeah. And, you know, we're going to make sure we have a little bit of fun with it. We'll drop some knowledge chips along the way. You know, and
that's right.
We're going to have some full stomachs by the time this is all said and done. And, you know, we'll still have people hungry for more knowledge. But, you know, one of the things I think you know, always kind of comes up when I at least have questions with people when they're thinking about becoming a sales engineer is there's so many different terms for sales engineers. It's sales engineers, it's systems engineers, it's system architect, technical consultant.
Yeah,
maybe we should start by really defining what, you know, a sales engineer, you know, is, and maybe explain some of the differences between those different roles. You know, I've got a view of it. You know, I think my view is pretty spot on, but I'd love to hear your take on it. And, you know, what do you think is the difference between a sales engineer, service engineer, technical consultant?
You know, that's go ahead. I'm sorry, man. Go ahead.
No, what's your take on it? I'd love to get your color on it first.
So it's a super important topic for me. And it's probably one of the things that define me as who I am in my career today, right? Because at the end of the day, regardless of the size of a title, a director or this and that, at heart, I am an engineer. You know, I am a hard engineer. When I first started Data Domain after EMC or Dell EMC acquired Data Domain, right? I went through several iterations of what you just described. I was a sales engineer, but then one time I became a technical consultant. Then some other guy came in, maybe it was a director or a VP of engineering and said, no, we're going to change this. And now you're a systems engineer, right? And, you know, before I even say which one, you know, what is it, right? Let's kind of go through the description of what sales and services is, because I think that that's what helped me understand the importance of being a sales engineer for an organization, right?
Yeah, I fully agree. Yeah.
When you look at sales, right, in any organization, sales is their number one goal is to generate profit for that organization, right? So it's pretty obvious, right? So you have sales, you have marketing, and then you have service. Service is someone like, in a nutshell, service is someone that provides services so that that element or that business unit, in this case, we're talking sales, is able to be successful, right? So when I look at service, when I was an IT manager, I was in service. I used to work for a retail organization. I was in service as an IT manager. But in reality, who was bringing the profit was, yeah, the traffic that was happening through all the stores, but marketing, with marketing campaigns, the designers, all those different business units were the ones that were in charge of that. And quite frankly, those units had the large budgets within that organization, right? So when you make that distinction between sales and service, and you apply it into a sales engineer, man, I want to be a sales engineer. I don't want to be labeled or categorized as a technical consultant, for example, because there is a notion out there in the field where people are afraid of saying, oh, that engineer or that sales guy, he's really not an engineer or a sales engineer. He's just your solutions architect or your technical consultant. But guys, the reality is this. Sales engineers carry quota. That quota is the same typically as the account rep, and they're a sales team. So therefore, I want to be in the sales engineer side because I know that for that organization, I am going to be super important for the entire success, which ultimately pays for salaries for service teams. I mean, that's my view, man. What say you?
Well, you obviously know my answer, but you know, I always have the view that whether you have sales engineer in your title, service engineer in your title, chief janitor, you know, working in the support organization, everybody sells, right? I mean, the goal of an organization is to produce a product that people are willing to purchase and part with their dollars for. And so there are many people that are part of the sales cycle. It just happens to be a few people that carry the quota that have a regard to, you know, every job responsibility and job description to take that on as their primary duty. But, you know, I think the traditional sales engineer role is that person who's quoted, you know, that has the, you know, the skill set that aligns to, you know, messaging the value of the product, understanding the customer's pain, being able to align that solution to that customer need, and then helping him close that deal. You know, and, you know, selling, in especially in today's world, no selling stops the minute the PO is cut. And honestly, it starts, because most people today are buying products that are sold on subscription basis or have a support renewal contract that's into that. And if you can't keep the product sold, then you really haven't done your job. So, you know, support's just as important, and you know, the fulfillment people that are behind the scenes. And so really, my view of the world, everybody sells. There just happen to be a few people that are truly sales engineers that have a unique set of skills that when they're put into the field, you know, their goal is to go win, get that ball over the, you know, the goal line, right, and bring home, you know, the win. And, you know, I think there are some skills that, you know, map into, you know, the role that make somebody move from being what would be maybe considered a systems engineer or you know, consultant into truly being a sales engineer. You know, there are good sales engineers and then there's great sales engineers. And, you know, there's things that I think we've identified through our careers that, you know, really separate the good from the great. And you know, I think that's probably what we should move next is, you know, really kind of breaking down what are some of those qualities that, you know, you look for in an SE when you hire. You know, I know you have a great fundamental way of looking at it. And I love the way you put it the other day when we were talking about this topic. So maybe you can kick it off and walking through just kind of, you know, your three simple rules for, you know, what makes a good to great engineer. And, you know, we can expand on that.
No, that's a good segment to actually talk, right? So, you know, I've been blessed with hiring many, many, many sales engineers across the globe. And I can tell you that in my career, yeah, there's been some that are great and they have moved on to be successful sales engineers. And there's some that, quite frankly, I did not have the right pulse that I needed to find out to see what element that fell. And quite frankly, unfortunately, you know, it did not work out, right? Some sales engineering is not for everybody. And what I can tell you is that there's three things that I've learned to use that have not failed me when I am hiring sales engineers. And it is very simple. Show up, don't be a dick, and add value. Now, what I mean by those is very simple. When you put that recipe together, those ingredients together, it actually creates the fundamental root of what a sales engineer can be now and can be in the future. Because let's face it, Dave, there's a lot of different traits, verbal communications, personality traits, you know, can they be calm under pressure, right? Those are different ingredients of the burrito or different ingredients of that sales engineer. But when you're looking at the showing up, don't be a jerk, add value, it allows those other ingredients to simmer in to then truly become from good sales engineer to super good, great sales engineer. Yeah, that's been my vision.
Yeah. And you're absolutely spot on, right? I mean, you know, I know people always come to me and say, well, you know, you got to be technically adept and, you know, you got to know everything to everything. And I, you know, that's part of it, right? Obviously, if you're selling a product, you've got to be knowledgeable with the product you're selling. Mm-hmm. That said, technology changes so fast. I mean, you know, when I was going through school and teaching at a university, I used to tell the students, you know, everything you're going to learn from me is out of date the day you graduate. You know, if you learn anything here, you're going to learn how to continue to learn, right? And, you know, I'm a full believer that you can teach the technical side. You know, what you can't teach are some of those personal skills that you have to have, right? You know, do you have interpersonal communication capabilities? You know, can you hold an intelligent conversation? Think fast on your feet, right? Are you reliable, dependable? All those soft skills that, you know, wow, I wish there was a course you could put people through.
Storytelling, Dave. Right? I mean, one of my mentors, right? You told me a story, and I would love for you if you can share it, right? Of someone that you hired that helped you, you know, with a big issue that you have on connectivity and whatnot, and that salesperson became something really big, right? And it took, you know, it took that gut instinct from your side to actually to see that. So I would love if you can share that story with the audience, man.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. You know, and I won't say her name because I had talked to her about having this conversation about her. But, you know, when I was at Veeam, you know, early part of our time as we were growing pretty fast, we were actually on the last day of the quarter. And the last day of the quarter, you know, everybody's booking the last deals. You know, you're there standing by the fax machine, as they say, waiting for the paper to roll off, and our internet connection goes down, right? And so I turned to my inside SE manager and said, you know, let's jump in the car. We got to go Best Buy. We got to buy some hotspot connectivity because there's no way we're not going to have 100 plus salespeople not sitting here booking orders on the last day of the quarter. So we travel on down. The Best Buy is the closest facility. We get to it and walk in. I find the first person who's working in the telecommunications side of the service area. And I say, this is what I need. I need to buy 5 hotspots. I need them activated. I need them ready to go. And I need to go quick. And, you know, this gentleman says, okay, well, what kind of package do you need? Well, how many, you know, gigabytes do you need? I'm like, I just need on a month-to-month basis. I just got to get these activated and go. So, well, when he realized I wasn't willing to purchase them on a 2-year commitment and take all the, you know, fancy device protection and all that stuff that comes with it, he didn't want to service our sale. And, you know, I was pretty dejected. I'm like, all right, well, we're going to have to go find a, you know, T-Mobile or Verizon store or something like that. And as we started walking away, this woman came over and said, you know, I just heard your conversation. It's not my department, but, you know, I work with the Geek Squad here. She said, let me see if I can help you and assist you. And so I'm like, okay, that'd be great. So she not only took the time to go pull the devices, she took the time to understand why we were doing it, asked us what our problem was, what we were trying to achieve. And I went through, got us activated. And as we were, you know, we're getting ready to leave, she's like, you know, I want to make sure, you know, that I gave you great service. And if we have any problems, you can call me directly. So gave me her contact information, and we left, and we went back to IBC to get things going. But, you know, when my inside SE manager and I, we get in the car, we're driving, I hand him the car and I said, you know, we got to get through today. We got to close the business. But I said, on Monday, I need you to call that person, tell her thank you, then offer her a job.
Man.
Yeah. And, you know, she had no experience in what we were doing, what we were selling. We were a data protection company still. You know, obviously in virtualization, she was actually about to become a recent graduate of DeVry University. And, you know, I'll say that probably because I'm a DeVry grad myself. And, you know, she came in for the interview. She was shocked that we called her. She's like, well, why would you do this? I have no experience in this. I'm like, you have all the right stuff you need. You know, we can teach you the technical pieces that you don't have. And, you know, I've been very lucky in my career of being able to identify people who may have not had a shot to become sales engineers unless somebody gave them a shot. And, you know, the fact that I've had some great wins like that, you know, was giving me a lot of latitude to do some more of those kind of hires. And I've got quite a few of them, you know, in my, I guess you could say downline sales engineering tree where, you know, they've become very successful in their careers, but that's one that definitely sticks out.
Listen, man, it's awesome, right? Because let's face it, right? One of the reasons why you and I are doing this podcast is to educate others on actually, you know, it's not about shortcuts in life, right? It's about you still have to work hard to actually get to the levels that you and I have got, right? But if I'm able to actually give you some coaching and mapping, you can use some of these learnings, right? And be able to actually help you to the road to actually be a great sales engineer. I mean, I have a very quick story. It's not a good story. And what I mean by that is, you know, I actually hired an individual when I was at Dell EMC that, you know, great guy, came from the customer side, IT manager. I even tried to sell him a lot of data domain back in the day, and no, he did not want it. And he was the type of individual that worked for an organization that I like to call a MacGyver type of organization. What do I mean by that? You know, your type of guy that says, hey, my backups are not running, but let me buy this product, or let me stick this and that and build my own and do my own thing, and I'm saving money. But the reality is that the company was not giving him the budget to do that, right? But he had a good heart. He had personality. He showed up, right? So you know what? Throughout my career, I gave him a chance and said, hey, man, come on, join. You have these fundamentals. But what happened after that is while he had the fundamentals right, he freaked out. He saw that, you know, his sales rep was asking him to create, you know, $500,000 quote or $1 million quote. And he never experienced a quote like that. So when you don't experience a quote like that and you start quantifying, hey, this is bigger than 3 houses or this is bigger than 20 houses, it creates a mental block that it doesn't allow you to proceed with the goal of a sales engineer is, which is bringing profit for an organization. So, you know, he realized that he was not able to change and, you know, amicably, he actually decided to leave the company. We're still friends to this moment. And he's grown now to be a VP of IT. Now he's seeing quotes that are that large, right? But he wasn't ready. Yeah. And now he's learned from the things that I taught him about showing up, not being a jerk, adding value, you know, calm under pressure. And now he's eternally grateful. And he's, you know, he calls me whenever he needs or has a problem. So there's always the good and the bad on these stories. The idea is how do you gain from them to make sure that you, our audience, can be successful at this journey of being a sales engineer.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great story too. I mean, you know, not everybody is meant to be on the sales side of the equation, but it doesn't mean that, you know, the network doesn't go away, right? And people buy from people, right? Yes, and, exactly. You know, that never have met a product that buys from another product. So, you know, it's just part of the skill set, right? Relationship building and being able to have those communication skills on top of being self-motivated and have that that aptitude to be humble, passionate, and go for the win.
That's exactly right.
You know, obviously, I think, you know, the other thing we run across when we look at people and we hire people in these jobs is, you know, the introvert versus the extrovert. And, you know, I think, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I'm very outgoing and people know I don't bite my tongue. I'll tell you what I'm thinking.
What do you mean? Really?
Sometimes maybe to a little bit of a detriment, but,
you know, it's an important topic, right? Because I've told you this. I am an introvert. Now, people never...
I don't believe you, by the way.
Well, I know, dude, but I am. I mean, when I was an IT manager, right? And the company was Talbots, right? When I was an IT manager there, you know, I never thought in my wildest dreams that I would be working in sales, right? But then it took a guy and, you know, several people to actually tell me, hey, you know, you can be a sales engineer, right? And I'm like, no way. It's like, I cannot do what you're doing. I cannot be doing this and deal with rejection and deal with, you know, the constant struggle of that. And it's like, well, you're doing it today. You're talking to business units like database administrators, or you're talking to the e-commerce guys and you're wanting to implement a new product and you're getting their buy-in and you're becoming that focal point. You're selling within your infrastructure. So to me, that was an epiphany, right? And it was like, wow, I can do this. But still, yeah. when I first did my first, I'll never forget, it was the sales rep is Jeff Chapin. My first ever sales call was with the Cleveland Clinic in Miami. So division out of Miami. And I mean, I freaked out when I had to do my first pitch. Because back then, Data2Me was still kind of running as a startup, right? So it was like, okay, yeah. Welcome, congratulations, here you go, go. But it took me to learn to become an extrovert. And I am able to switch it off. I'm able to be an extrovert, be in front of people, be able to actually drive change for people, right? But sometimes when I get home, I'm like, I don't even want to make a decision. I just become this introvert guy, right? To the point that when I was at Data Gravity and, you know, my very good friend, Chris Munson, and myself, right? We were a team. And some people often thought that I was the sales rep, but I wasn't. I was a sales engineer. But that's how working as a team is perfect, because we all have the same common goal, which is we have quota, bringing revenue for the organization.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, that comes up a lot. You know, some people ask me, you know, account executive, sales engineer of their team, who owns what is the sales relationship? And, you know, I think, you know, as the industry's evolved, they have gotten closer. But really, at the end of the day, you know, The account executive is the one that's next on the line for getting, you know, the final yes. And, you know, the sales engineer is there to get that technical win. You know, but they're both tied to the same quota, right? So there is a team relationship and a really good team. I mean, the best teams that I've ever had, you know, they're almost interchangeable. And, you know, the AE could pick up and at least do the elevator pitch on the technical side of the equation. And the SC, if the AE wasn't there, it would be, you know, the ball's not going to stop because the quarterback's not here. I'm going to pick it up, be the fullback, and still get it across the line. So, you know, dynamic is very important. And I think, you know, the teams that work well together, they have that, you know, that yin and yang where they really, you know, symbiotic in that relationship. And, you know, I think it's very telling when you look at the high performance teams versus, you know, an okay team versus a mediocre team. That dynamic is what really defines, you know, whether they're good or great or just, you know, out of this world. And, you know, one thing that I think you and I have both been fortunate for is we've been able to, you know, obviously we don't necessarily hire the account engineers. I mean, with the sales engineers we do, but the account executives are typically hired by a counterpart that we work with as well. And, you know, making sure you're hiring that right team is important. Now, it's different when you start a company because you have a little bit more pressure on putting the right team together, but it's one of those dynamics. And
I always use the analogies of Batman and Robin, or, you know, John Madden and Pat Summerall, right? Because when you have a great team, right, they're all thinking alike. They're all answering each other's sentences. They can predict what they're going to say. And most importantly, since this is a podcast for sales engineers, the sales engineer can be the designated quarterback, or the designated batter that can come in and be able to ask the difficult questions to figure out, is there a deal or not a deal, right? And that combined with technical prowess, because it requires both. You have to be that hybrid person, because there will be a customer that is going to challenge you on saying, well, how does this work, right? That's why being a student of the game, not only on the gadget that you're selling, but the ecosystem of that gadget is important. But ultimately, the goal is to actually bring the sales in and be able to actually make the profit for the organization.
Yeah, absolutely right. You know, one of the things I think we're going to cover more in depth on this podcast is really how to grow your career. But if you're listening for the first time and you're thinking, okay, this is great, I love what these guys are saying, you know, sign me up. I want to get out of corporate IT and carry a bag, travel the world when we're allowed to travel again and become a sales engineer. Yep. You know, how do I get started? Right. And that's something I get asked all the time. Like, you get people who reach out and say, hey, look, you know, I hear you're in this position, you've done a lot of it, you got a great experience, you know, how do I get started? And, you know, I always go back and look at, you know, the ways that I've hired engineers and how they've gotten started. And it kind of, there's three kind of core things. You know, the first is they have that self-drive, right? The fact that you're identifying that you want to do it, I think is a great starter. You know, the other part of it is being able to demonstrate that you can communicate. And, you know, I think the third is really the power of networking. You know, there's not a lot of sales engineers that get hired because they went to Career Builder or Monster.com and threw their resume up there, right? You know, you have to sell yourself as the first product that you're selling when you become a sales engineer. And so for someone listening to this podcast and you want to get started, you know, start building your elevator pitch, and the elevator pitch and the product you're going to sell is yourself, right? You know, what are the qualities that you have that are going to separate you from the competition? And if you don't necessarily have the technical skills, you know, sell yourself on how you can ramp up, right? I mean, you got to be agile and problem solve. And first problem you have to solve if you don't have those skills is how you're going to get them, and then how you're going to give that return on investment. Kind of things that I share when I typically talk to people. What about you? I mean, what do you think, you know, kind of if you're listening for the first time and they're pinging my friend, what would you be telling somebody who wants to get started as a sales engineer?
Man, it's crawl before walking. I mean, it is possible, right? I mean, my goal is to make sure that individuals that reach out to me, and it happens often, right? It could be a customer I design a solution as a sales engineer, and now he's doing something different, right? What I typically tell them is exactly the story that happened to me, right? You already are doing some level of sales within your organization. Whether it is when you're doing a change in Active Directory, or you want to do a change in DNS and you have to get everybody's buy-in, or there's a new gadget that you're getting. you're already lobbying for that, right? It's about taking that and making the switch and the transfer. It is not easy. There's going to be stuff like, for example, on other podcasts that we're going to do, right, on other episodes, is the topic of assumptions. It is something that, Dave, I got to tell you that personally, it was my own, it was a demon for me to have to deal with putting assumptions into things where I came from a world where it was binary, ones or zeros, right? So I basically tell them, you know, are you willing to take the risk or calculate risk to make decisions that you may not know the answers for, right? And if you're willing to do that and you can show me that you can prepare to make an educated decision or risk, then you have what it takes to actually becoming a pretty good sales engineer. So that's what I...
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. And I think you're spot on there. You know, it is a risk, right? It's a risk-reward career. You know, the risk-reward is why there's upside incentive in being a sales engineer. You know, so as we kind of move up to wrapping up the first episode here, you know, we are looking to the future. We have some interesting topics that are on tap for the future here. Again, we're going to cover, you know, assumptions is one of them. We're going to cover diversity. We're going to cover, you know, how do you make that first interview happen? And, you know, you're in a sales role. How do you grow your career? How do you take the next step? And we want to hear from the audience as well. If you have topics that you want to see us cover, whether that's easy tough balls or if you want us to take on the hard ones, you know, we're not backing down. So, you know, come challenge us with it. You know, reach out to us on our social media. We are available on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, everything social will be at Sales Burrito. You can also hit us up directly at podcast@salesburrito.com. And we look forward to obviously hearing from you. We're also going to bring some guests on. You know, we have a pretty extensive network. You know, we've got some people that are already knocking at the door saying, when can I be on? And so, you know, we're gonna get the knowledge chips dropping all over the place from some of the people that we have in our extended network.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, listen, I couldn't be more excited to be doing this project with you, man. I know that we're going to be helping a lot of people around the globe when it comes to this, but let's leave it like this. Listen, until next time, guys, keep the chips and salsa going and the knowledge flowing.
We hope you've enjoyed this Sales Burrito Show. Subscribe to catch future episodes wherever you catch your favorite podcasts. Follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook at Sales Burrito. Until next time, keep the chips and salsa going and the knowledge flowing.